Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a very special guest today with an extraordinary background. He's now even a security consultant, a national security advisor, a former private investigator, a law enforcement historian research specialist, a technical advisor on law enforcement, a black belt martial arts, judo, karate, the works. He's also been a Secret Service agent with the San Diego Police Department, with the Mint Police and Treasury Customs Extraordinary, John Carman by name. I'm going to begin with a few stories and then bring in John for his thoughts about them. We have a ludicrous situation where the world is being destroyed blatantly and openly by basically the Khazarian Mafia, the Rothschild banking industry, in collaboration with Bill Gates and other miscreants who want to depopulate Earth's population by up to around 8 billion. I mean, believe it or not, these people are nothing if not ambitious and ruthless. So now we have Bill Gates, who turns out to be a very perverted guy, vowing to pump mRNA and the food supply to force jab the unvaccinated. I mean, this is unbelievable. Now the end begins tweets. Bill Gates says he's vaccinated animals in England and manipulated their genes so they'll be more productive. How healthy will we be after eating animals vaxxed with mRNA? I got a clip set up. Mitchell, if you can play. Well, absent.
Well, the Gates Foundation has partnered with DFID on a great number of things, and among those are work we do together on livestock, helping animals survive either by having vaccines or better genetics, helping them be more productive. It's making a big difference. I was down in Ethiopia seeing how chickens are out there laying more eggs, getting more nutrition, and even some small savings into the household. So Edinburgh happens to be where a lot of the world's best work on this is done, and that's why DFID and the Gates Foundation are funding scientists here.
Well, as though them were bad enough, we have the latest Pitter files putting the Pfizer insiders on the hot seat. This new set of releases was introduced by Elon Musk saying more Twitter files. Some conspiracies are actually true. Indeed, of those I've investigated, the vast majority that had any plausibility were indeed true, and I have documented one after another, from JFK to 9/11 to Wellstone to Sandy Hook to the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Parkland, Las Vegas, Charlottesville, Buffalo, Uvalde, and more. Check out my How to Spot a False Flag Part 1 and How to Spot a False Flag Part 2, or just the many books that are, six of them, by the way, of course, have been banned by Amazon.com, including even the Moon Book, which not only demonstrates that the claim that we went to the moon is rubbish, I mean, completely concocted, a monster hoax, but was banned not for that reason, but because it includes a selection of essays by some of the world's leading experts disputing the official narrative of the Holocaust in World War II. That's why they want it banned. Remember, Russian-Israeli Zionist political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, so they must do everything they can to preserve the myth. Here we have a new face now reporting about Pfizer insiders, Alex Berenson, his area focused COVID-19. He unmasked some secrets from a Pfizer board member as his opening salvo of Twitter revelations. This example was shorter than most, focused on a specific incident of wrongdoing by a single individual. It's a reasonable strategy if you want to be sure the gravity of the action in question doesn't get buried in a bigger story, which admittedly sometimes happens in these information dumps. He will be bringing the Fauci files in the future, but he's got to wade through a whole heap of data before he can make enough sense to be dropping on it. So here we have Alex Berenson tweeting. I know lots of you are waiting for the Fauci Twitter files drop, and I get it. But I hope you'll be patient. These searches are complex. Fauci is in a lot of emails. And don't sleep on the P. Pfizer and the Scott Gobley MD. This is the swamp in action with vast fortunes at stake. Let's recall who is Scott Gottlieb. Variety wrote about him in August of 2021, right about the time events in this Twitter file were being played out. Gottlieb, a former FDA commissioner and a well-connected advisor in the worlds of medicine and health, can't sit back and look at the Sunday shows because he has, over the past year, become a central element of one of them. He has been interviewed on CBS, Face the Nation, so many times, he's become one of the most frequent non-journalist guests in the history of the show, which launched in 1954. Only former Senator John McCain has appeared more often, 112 times, throughout its nearly six decades on the air. Gottlieb, this past Sunday, made his 73rd appearance, surpassing Senator Lindsey Graham, who's been on the program 69 times, and Senator Bob Gold, 64. He's even been a more frequent guest than now President Joe Biden, who appeared on Nation on 56 different occasions. Gottlieb sees a Sunday program as a venue to help viewers gain perspective and see around the next corner, not to react to the latest headlines. I really try to call it as I see it, and I really try to look ahead and try to figure out what people are going to need to know to continue to stay safe. He's ranked near the top of several most influential lists, served with the FDI until March of 2019, was named to the board of Pfizer later the same year. Wiki might want to scrub this quote from their hagiography about him before it proves too embarrassing even for a hack propaganda site like theirs. Medical Marketing and Media, MNM, and PR Week, that's Public Relations Week, recognized Gottlieb on their 2020 Health Influencer 50 list, ranking him number four. They noted that in a year that will likely be remembered for medical misinformation and the proliferation of science deniers, Dr. Scott Gottlieb continues to stand out as one of the clearest and most direct communicators of all things health-related, says Wiki. Meanwhile, remember, Scott Berenson now. Okay, that's the introduction of the main player in this drama. Let's move along to the opening act. Here is a lead player in the event. And I'm going to give you some of the actual quotes from the text here that they're reporting about. Really stunning stuff. Subject, it's not clear. COVID, natural immunity is superior to vaccine immunity by a lot. There's no science justification for the vax proof if a person had prior infection. CDC director and POTUS must follow the science. If no previous injection, get vaccinated. This is the kind of stuff that's corrosive. Here he draws a sweeping conclusion off a single retrospective study in Israel that hasn't been peer-reviewed. But this tweet will end up going viral and driving news coverage. In other words, this is the kind of stuff they want to destroy. They want to suppress. A doctor on the board of Pfizer and former FDA bigwig uses the same lobbyist the White House has been using. Nothing suspicious there, of course, to pressure Twitter's compliance in silencing a doctor. The statements they want Twitter to silence could undermine public reception of the administration official fear narrative, impacting the urgency of adopting the solution to wit the vax, and therefore negatively impacting Pfizer's total units sold. Notice this is a marketing strategy, but also a genocidal application. Alex Barrison tweets, in August 2021, Gottlieb told Total Boyle, a senior manager in Twitter's public policy department, that a tweet from Dr. Guerrier claiming correctly that natural immunity was superior to vaccine immunity was corrosive and might go viral. What was the direct consequence? Fear was augmented, rational discourse hampered, and that science paved the way for a big Pfizer payday when that emergency authorization was extended to children. Here's Berenson again. Twitter put a misleading tag on the tweet, preventing it from being shared. Gottlieb then went after a tweet about COVID's low risk to kids from Justin Hart. Pfizer would soon win the okay for its mRNA shot for children, so keeping parents scared was crucial. What's that old line about follow the money? There was a lot of it to follow. And people actually told themselves they were following the science. Can you imagine? Here's another. In October 2022, Scott Gottlieb claimed on Twitter and CNBC that he was not trying to suppress debate on mRNA jabs. These files prove that Gottlieb, board member of a company that just made $70 billion on the shots, did just that. Full story here, subject. It's now clear COVID natural immunity is superior to vaccine immunity by a lot. There's no science justification for vaccine if a person had prior infection. CDC Director POTUS must follow the science if no previous infection. This is the kind of stuff that is corrosive. Here he draws a sweeping conclusion. We've had that report before. A sweeping conclusion. Meanwhile, it's just... from the Twitter files, that's a report, a repeat. This wasn't an effort to stop disinformation, so was as an effort to manipulate the markets for a very lucrative product. We're no lawyers, but it would be interesting to know whether this kind of market manipulation and overt lying to the public by members of the board have any impact on the validity of Pfizer's protection against lawsuits. Here are a few relevant clarifying tweets he added to his timeline. The original tweet by Hart is one we've mentioned already. Alex Berenson. Just before Scott Gottlieb went after Justin Hart for his tweet about school closing, Hart tweeted this, hitting Gottlieb's credibility, noting his relationship with Pfizer and pushing back on boosters. Gee, is that why Gottlieb tried to censor Hart? Couldn't be, right? Couldn't be, right? Justin Hart, ha, 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 ha. More gaslighting by Scott Gottlieb, MD, Pfizer board member. The first two shots really serve as primers. Apparently three or four shots are where it's at. Statistics from the UK. Here's another, Alex calling out Gottlieb directly. Alex Berenson himself tweeting, hey, Scott Gottlieb, remind me of how your efforts to censor another former U.S. FDA commissioner for a tweet about natural immunity have to do with safety of anything other than Pfizer's massive profits. Scott Gottlieb, in the past, in the past, I've concerned with Twitter related to the safety of me and others and threats being made on the platform. This includes direct as well as specific threats. Sometimes it included statements that I believe were purposely false and inflammatory. That cult of Fauci still has a deep hold on some people. Here's more. The left Big Pharma's singularity is complete, even more stunning than the left's embrace of Big Tech threat. John Marshall, good example of why selective release of email by tendentious hacks like Alex Berenson can be rather misleading, about a Scott Gottlieb tweet. In the past, I've raised concerns with Twitter related to the safety of me and others and threats being made on the platform. This includes direct as well as specific threats. Sometimes it included. Is there any way to know whether that pressure on silencing dissenting opinions about antibodies based on honest belief the vaccine was better or on cynical profit motive? There is, in fact, a way we can know. We can listen to the words of Pfizer employees from a year or more ago. If you're starting to get the feeling that the panic was never about protecting Granny, so much as running a grand game orchestrated by big players with bigger plans, welcome to the club. Can we take your coat? Stunning stuff. Meanwhile, turns out critical theory is a framework used to train teachers. Kindergarten through 12, public schools saturated with critical race theory did a teacher's education report finds. This is fairly stunning stuff. A new Monday report finds California public schools are saturated with critical theory ideology and divisive rhetoric because future teachers are trained using a critical theory framework. CriticalRace.org, which is a project of the nonprofit Legal Insurrection Foundation, recently released its report, UC Schools of Education Report, Who Teaches the Teachers? By Dr. Brandy Shufatinsky, which examines the training programs used to teach future educators in the University of California Schools of Education system. The impact that UC-educated teachers have in shaping the minds of future generations is substantial. Because of the impact UC-trained teachers have on students, it's essential that the pedagogical frames used in schools of education and teacher training programs are examined for politicalization and biases. The study attempts to show how critical race theory made its way into the public education system by investigating the curricula used to train teachers. The founder, William Jacobson, reported to Fox News Digital, CRT and related ideology have spread like wildfire through higher education, professional schools, K through 12, even military academies. The question is how it happened. Part of the answer is CRT is deeply embedded in teachers' colleges, with ethnic studies being a primary vehicle. Teachers are taught to teach CRT through ethnic study courses. The report uncovered that institutions educating teachers, including college and preparatory programs, utilize a teaching structure based on critical theory ideology. Critical theory is defined in the report as a critique of society that examine ways in which power is used to oppress marginalized groups. Critical theorists believe that the privileged men, white people, capitalism, Christians, heterosexuals hold power and must be countered through transformative practices in order to foment social change toward truer democracy. According to Dr. Shufatinsky, the report provides a glimpse into how divisive rhetoric is making its way from academia into K through 12 classrooms. He believes future teachers are being taught to apply principles from ethnic studies to other subjects they teach, including social studies, language arts, and even math. Joint program between University of California Ethnic Studies Department and Schools of Education are trained teachers to implement critical theory ideology into K through 12 classrooms, he told Fox, according to the detailed report. UC Berkeley teacher education preparation was most concerning because both its handbook and identity statements were riddled with critical theory concepts that leave no room for dissenting opinion. The 32-page study also found UCLA School of Education is clearly influenced by radical theory. UC Riverside School of Education uses a critical theory-informed social justice framework, and UC San Diego School of Education examines education through an equity lens and holds up Cuba as a positive role model. The report found UC's Master of Arts in Teaching was not entirely negative because it did not appear to be based on critical theory and allowed students the option to avoid some of the ideology, where the University of California did not respond to requests for comments. Meanwhile, we have a fairly stunning development that I think is going to infuriate a large segment of the population and cause them to question the sanity of the Biden administration, destroying civilization. Biden wants to ban natural gas cook stoves. People who believe that climate change, or whatever we're calling it this week, is real, belong to a communistic anti-civilization death cult. If you don't believe me, just keep reading. The lunatics running the brainless Joe Biden meat puppet show now want to ban the natural gas appliances in your home in order to save you. I've been saying these nut jobs are a bunch of crazy lunatics for 25 years now, and I've never believed that more than I do today. But as you read this, you're not going to know whether to laugh or cry. Still, I promise you, every word of this is true. I was first exposed to the science of global warming back in the 1990s. That's when the coven of the Green Witch in Seattle started sending me threatening letters. This was in the earliest days of my career when I was starting out on ABC News Radio. My reporting on global warming led me to a conclusion I've always been publicly very vocal about. Global warming is a fake religious cult, and its followers achieved all their goals. If its followers achieved all their goals tomorrow, we'd all be living in grass huts and longing for the days of flush toilets and refrigeration as we die painful deaths from dysentery. This enraged the coven of the Green Witch. I delighted in reading their hilarious but totally serious threatening letters on the air. If I did not immediately repent and begin warning everyone of the dangers of global warming, the witches were going to get me. Their coven would go out in the woods near Seattle, take all their clothes off, do some sort of hippie dance that caused a major earthquake, a proof of how serious they took credit for the 1996 quake in Seattle. So at least we know there's a lot of science underpinning this whole global warming thing. Seattle, by the way, is still ranked as the 8th best city in America for witches to live. Fast forward to today. Richard Trumka Jr. is the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC, for the Biden regime. And yes, he's the son of Richard Trumka Sr., who used to run the AFL-CIO and who once bragged that he owned the Obama-Biden administration after his organization illegally funded $1 billion to their 2008 campaign. So out of all the people on planet Earth who could possibly have been picked ahead, the CPSC, Biden chose Trumka Jr. Trumka Jr. says the CPSC may have to ban appliances from American homes that use natural gas. Here's what little Trumka Jr. has to say about the natural gas appliances that are used in 40% of American homes. This is a hidden hazard. Any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe can be banned. Apparently, a new peer-reviewed study published in the totally scientific and not at all partisan International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health proves that natural gas appliances give off some sort of magic vapors that are making people sick. Maybe that's when giving all the young, healthy people myocarditis. Dude just flat out threatens to ban one of the pillars of modern civilization. That's totally scientific and not crazy at all. Oh, well, it's not like banning all natural gas appliances would impact my life that much anyway. I'm sure the kids can tough it out if Biden bans my efficient natural gas furnace. Eggs are $10 a dozen where I live thanks to the Biden economy, so we can't afford to cook much on our natural gas cook stove these days. We also have a clothes dryer that runs more efficiently thanks to natural gas. I guess I'll miss having dry pants. Other than that, we can all adjust. It's for the planet. This is communism. It would severely depopulate the earth if all the tenets of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez religion were implemented tomorrow. I'm cracking a lot of jokes about it because these people are so nuts. But we need to take them seriously. Trumka Jr. and the rest of the quacks in the Biden regime would pull the trigger and ban natural gas tomorrow if they thought they could get away with it. Thank goodness the GOP now controls the House. Global warming is not science. It's a death cult. And no matter how many naked hippie broads are dancing out in the woods, that's never going to change. And by the way, AOC has even been tweeting about it, and it's absurd. And a poll has been taken about whether Biden is crazy to want to ban natural gas, which had over 99% in agreement. This is lunatic. I'm just so delighted to have John here today with his massive background and extensive knowledge. John, we're almost up to the break, but I just want to tell you I'm happy to have you here. And then after the break, we'll launch into your review of everything important you have to say, which I know is a great deal in abundance, quality, and quantity. I'm just delighted to have you here.
Thank you, sir. I'll be standing by.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So think about the stories and how far the Biden admin has gone. I mean, are we lunatics? Banning natural gas? What, you'd have to remodel nearly half of the homes in the United States? Tucker interviewed a restaurateur who was talking about the calamity it would make if they couldn't use their gas stove and they'd be unable to provide buffets for businesses. All of their social events would collapse. The economy is going down. This is one more proof, as though more proof were needed, that they're really out to destroy America. This is Kazarian Mafia. This is Rothschild. This is the World Economic Forum. I had a friend suggest they are the greatest threat the world has ever known. We'll be right back with John Carman.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As mentioned before, my guest today has one of the most extraordinary background, perhaps the most extraordinary background of any guest I've ever featured on any show I've ever hosted. John, I'm just delighted to have you here. Consider what I was laying out there is just like a buffet. You can pick or choose or address any other issue you like. I'm just delighted to have you here.
Yeah, you brought up some really important points there, and thank you for bringing me back on Revolution Radio, because I've been doing this a couple of times, and I know Mitchell, and came on with Scott Bennett, you know, in the last several years with Michael J. as well. So, all good people. Yeah, I had an extensive background. I was in a military family, just to give a real quick rundown. So, I've lived on top-secret military bases. And I'm going, wait a minute, I was born in Oklahoma on a top secret military base, it turns out. And apparently they're training some people over there from the Ukraine in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I just recently saw that like yesterday.
John, that's shocking. I received my artillery training as a Marine Corps officer at Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma. I mean, it's just, it's not surprising in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, go, go, go.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. So throughout my, you know, education, training, and, you know, going from Oklahoma to either California or Texas to Japan, ended up in China Lake, finished my education over there, and then did some work with Naval Intelligence, as a matter of fact, on Naval Weapons Center China Lake, and then later into San Diego in 74, where I got picked up after I got my degree in the U.S. Secret Service. So then I went to Washington, D.C., protecting Presidents Ford and Carter. This was just only a couple of weeks after Nixon had just left on August 9th, 74. So then I was Foreign Missions Division, counter-sniper, counter-terrorism, that sort of stuff, protecting the embassies. So that means I've been on foreign territory all over Washington, D.C., because of the various embassies there, against people like Carlos the Jackal, you know, Ilias Ramirez Sanchez, who may or may not still be in Paris or France, somewhere in a prison somewhere right now. And then from Secret Service to, and there's a lot of stories in between there, of course, at the White House, and I almost arrested Barbara Walters, and I'm the guy that actually interviewed John W. Hinckley in front of the White House in 76 when I was at the Foreign Missions Division and had him admitted to the duty agent to get him interviewed so he could be admitted to the St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital because of what he was talking about, because he wanted to see the president. And then he started going off on a tangent real quick on microwaves in his head, some sexually related terms, and then Jodie Foster. I'm thinking, this guy must have seen the movie Taxi Driver. So, and then, of course, 5 years later after that is history where Hinckley allegedly shot Brady, Delahunty, and Tim McCarthy, the Secret Service agent. But by that time, he had already shot off all of his rounds, according to John Judge. And anybody who's listening to the show should be taking notes right now, because John Judge explained this on a YouTube where they had the sound tested on the actual video that showed that Reagan could not have been hit by a gun. Then they later found out through x-rays that he got hit with a flechette of some sort, probably the size of a dime or something to that effect, which means that was an air gun, air pistol, probably disguised as a camera or something else. So it was not a lone male gunman thing. This is a typical profile through CIA for years, since even way before Lee Harvey Oswald, who never shot a gun in Dallas, ever. And yet that's the profile that they want to lie to you about, you know, continually. But there's so many stories. But Secret Service, and I went to San Diego PD the day of the plane crash, which was the PSA on September 25th, 78. And several years there, minus a lot of their corruption and issues. Then I went private investigator. Then I got reinstated to Treasury, went to the U.S. Mint in San Francisco, protected tons of gold, literally, and then got my background check finished after 10 months, which is what it would take. And then I got to transfer to U.S. Customs, which is where I wanted to be at the border. My other big mistake, joke. So I discovered corruption, reported it. I was getting massive amounts of drug seizures, fugitives, narcotics, guns, bad guys, pedophiles, baby smugglers, you name it. I was catching everything, and they didn't like that. So our government is involved in drug smuggling. There's no doubt about it. And when they have these guys working at the border, that is window dressing, as we call it, to give the American public a belief that we're putting our tax dollars or slave dollars into a system, and we're catching these drugs and violators. No, they're flying it in. They're bringing it in on submarines. They're bringing it on military planes and gigantic tanker trucks filled with cocaine. Now we're in a situation with fentanyl. So after I left in 98 under massive death threats, I finally had to leave, went public again in 95, did an interview with Mike Wallace in 95, 3.5 hours. George Putnam up in L.A., if you remember George Putnam, people like that. And I knew people like Art Bell, so I was on leave status in 95, injury on the job type stuff, too much carbon monoxide at the border. And everybody that works at the border for a significant amount of time will never finish a 20 to 30 year stint because they will get heart attacks and health issues. And I didn't smoke, didn't drink, so I was lucky to just have a few heart attacks after I left. And I probably did better by leaving after 15 years as opposed to working more, because then most people I've run into or knew at work that were basically healthy, they're dead. So that's other stuff that they don't want you to know about. Besides Chapo Guzman paying the Democrats millions of dollars, like Dianne Feinstein, the senator of California, Harris was also involved, and Maxine Waters, you name a Democrat, they're all involved. They're taking millions of dollars. And Chapo Guzman, I used to send emails and report that stuff to Donald Trump before, during, and after he was president. Donald Trump is only worth what, $4.5 to $5 billion, and Chapo Guzman is worth $250 billion with a B Baker. That's a lot of money, and those guys are making donations to the Democratic Party, and that's what ties in with all this other stuff that you're bringing up on the news. It's like a death cult. It's satanic. And that's the one thing they don't want you to talk about. You can get blocked on any other social media for starts talking that it's satanic, because it is. That's what my research shows. They've been coming out for years. And if you look at the fact that Obama got elected into office and he's a foreign national born in Mombasa, Kenya, what the heck are the Congress thinking? Congress is committing high treason every day that they don't charge Obama and that they don't go after these other guys for committing high treason. It's impossible for what's going on. It can't happen, but it still keeps going down that same rail track, and nobody's diverting. You see what I mean? So how many times do they have to lie about it before people get it?
You have so much to say. I just want to interject.
Go ahead.
A lot of us believe, you know, this Biden, of course, is a complete fraud. It's not the real Joe, who appears to have died around 2017. He had a very expressive face. He had a shit-eating grin that went from ear to ear. This guy has no effect in his face whatsoever. He may even be wearing a latex mask. In some shots, you can see where the mask ends and his skin begins. We don't know really who it is, who's the actor playing this Biden, but our belief is that it's Barack Obama behind the scene who's calling the shots for this administration, and of course had an interest in stealing the election of 2020 in the first place, and then of course the midterms even more massively and blatantly stolen in 2022. I just appreciate your comments on that as you move forward.
Yeah, and take into account I'm a behavioral analysis expert. It's scary what I can do, and I haven't been wrong. That's the point that scares these other guys. I'm surprised I didn't get reinstated, brought back under Trump administration, stuff like that. What you say is interesting because I study that as well. There are discrepancies, and there was allegedly a surgery on Biden where normally they would cut around the hairline at the back of the scalp, flap it over, do some thing where they did something to an alleged tumor or pressure on the brain, which they claim. This is the Democrat lie, because I've seen it before in another Democrat in San Diego who used to be a mayor. And she claimed she had a pressure on the brain, which caused her to go out and take $10 million and gamble it away. And she was in federal court. Maureen O'Connor was her name, or is her name. Maureen O'Connor, a Democrat, got away with being charged with stealing $10 million of the tax slaves or taxpayers' money. Right there. So Biden had a propensity towards young children, as everybody knows. So they claim that they did a surgery and then they put the flap back, seal it back up, sew it together. And yet you see different pictures of a guy that looks like Biden. I look at the ears, the eyes, nose, lips, and ears, but the ears are usually very, very accurate. And when I see a discrepancy in the left or right ear, even most humans, they don't have a symmetrical ear shape that equals the other ear. It doesn't match. Sometimes you get differences because of the DNA. Like speaking of DNA, when Obama and Michelle went to visit the Queen in England, you know, if you take a drink from a water glass, you may leave a little bit of saliva there, not to mention your fingerprints. And an MI5, MI6 agent would pick it up disguised as a waiter, take it back, and within the hour, less than that, they had the saliva tested for Michelle's glass. So you can say Michael by accuracy. And that's also from a Secret Service source too. But that's a side issue. You know, it's just minor details. But I look at these things all the time. I just looked at this yesterday. Biden has pictures of him getting a shot and he's got hairy arms, but yet on other pictures he doesn't. And then I've seen the infamous video where allegedly it's Biden whipping a young girl who's tied to a pole or something, and he looks like he has a tattoo on the back of his upper shoulders. It could be a big crow or a black bird of some sort. And I go, no, that doesn't match. There's something wrong with that. this is part of the deception of the satanic or these devil worshiping type people, is they're constantly putting these things out to fool you, to lie to you, to distract you from what they're doing is stealing from your pocket. They're killing people off with COVID shots, and they said, oh no, it's this and it's that, and they lie about it. There's a thing in this thing, religiously or not, that they have to tell you what they're going to do right up to your face. And if you don't believe it, that would be your problem or some person's inability to discern truth from fiction or a lie. And this is what I've done for years, you know, a lifetime. And with all the behavioral analysis techniques, I've been accurate, pretty much 100%. And you can look at these people, and when they're lying to you, they even say it. I think you probably heard the Abe Finkelstein interview. I was playing that. I used to keep it up there for, you know, a year. They finally pulled it, and that was with James Wickstrom, who passed away in 2018. And it was a very interesting interview because it was very accurate. And this Jewish rabbi, and I've been taught Eastern religions up at China Lake Ridgecrest, who was a professor that taught me. He was okay. But even this Abe Finkelstein would say, well, even when we lie, we tell the truth. Or even when we tell the truth, we lie. I think it was even when we lie, we tell the truth. So that means they're telling you something no different than the 6 million Jews that died in Auschwitz or in the death camps. You know, and he said, well, it's only a number. You know, he's saying it with that accent. As I'm talking to you now, I see a picture of Klaus Schwab. You know, remember that guy? You know, you will eat bugs. You will give up all your property and be happy. You know, yes. Joke. And they're talking about the Davos meeting that they're getting ready to have here on January 16th through the 20th. Those people, even the cops, the military that go out challenging regular media people that may not be high up like ABC, NBC, CBS, or God help us, the CNN or something. Those people are carrying fully automatic weapons, shoulder weapons, and they're going around doing identification checks and passport checks on people, and they don't want you to be filming them. And in this country, most places, if you're being filmed out in the open, it's public domain. Cops don't understand that, so they have to be on their best behaviors when they're confronting somebody or even confronting a bad guy or a suspect or a potential arrestee, you know. And I've arrested lots of people. I don't waste time at all. If I see something there, I'm going to pull you out or arrest you or put the cuffs on as soon as possible. No different than I did when I had a jumper that jumped the White House fence. This is an interesting story. Excuse me. I'm going to have to hit the cough button here. Probably around 2 o'clock in the morning, the alarms are going off. I'm the first to respond, of course. And I've already got my gun out because I see a suspect who had jumped the south lawn fence of the White House, went through certain areas, passed a roadway, setting off alarms continually. He's a black male dressed up in a three-piece suit, carrying a briefcase in his right hand, facing north, walking towards me. And I've already got my gun out. And by the way, I had an ex-Marine supervisor who was behind me somewhere. I don't know what he was doing, but I was doing all the control anyway. So I'm already yelling at him, stop, U.S. Secret Service, you're on federal property, what's in the briefcase? And I'm keeping him going continually. He says it was just paperwork, so I told him to drop it off to his right, which would be to my left. And I'm walking up closer enough that it would have been a dead kill easily, because I'm a distinguished expert anyway, but I'm asking him all kinds of questions and keeping him busy. Do you have any weapons? Are you carrying any weapons on you? No, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And even to the point of asking him what his name was, he wanted to know, what do you want to know that for? And I said, well, I want to know where to send the body. So get down on your knees, turn around, face the other way, go up and cuff him real quick, search him, and do all that stuff. Basically, he claimed he had paperwork that he was going to give the president to try and get a pardon or some sort of a release for a relative of his. The supervisor wanted me to take him straight up between the buildings of the west wing where the Oval Office is and the mansion, which is the private residence. I said, no, I'm going to take him around to Executive Avenue, which is way around the other way through another gate away from those areas because we don't know what's in the briefcase. We don't know what's on him or in him. Now, I just revealed something very interesting because a lot of people don't understand to the level that I'm experienced and understand how biochemical electronics or even, you know, something as small as a nuke or something could be implanted somewhere. So the supervisor wasn't thinking in those terms. He was trying to think, get him up to the thing a certain way. I said, no, I'll walk around the other way. And then he's turned over to a duty agent. They process him. They interview him. They search him more extensively to see if he's got anything in his shoes and his clothing. Maybe even if it was me, I'd say do a CT scan, you know, x-ray the body.
Sure.
Because you don't know if it could be an IED or a suicide thing, no different than Barbara Walters, who pulled up in a limousine one day claiming she had an appointment with Betty Ford, which was a lie. And the command center didn't want me to make an arrest. They just said, get the car out of there. Don't do it. There's a violation of federal law, 18 USC 1001, lying to a federal official in the performance of his duties. That's an easy thing. Plus trespass, attempted to do this, that, and the other, conspiracy to violate the law, everything, including the driver. We don't know what's in the vehicle. That's me back in 76. When I went to work at the border, I was doing all kinds of stuff with secret compartments and narcotics and all kinds of things. People have no idea. Even the fentanyl. They can drop fentanyl and kill millions.
And John, Baba Wawa could have been there under duress. She could have been forced to bring the vehicle in because she's so famous. No one would suspect, and they got a bomb right there in front of the White House.
Yes, that's a really good observation because I've explained this as well. There's even some movies to that effect explaining that very same scenario. We've had the same thing happen once before at the border where the guy says, no, the cartels says they're going to kill his family if he doesn't come across, and he was carrying something.
Yeah.
Same thing. I'll detail a little bit more. The driver comes up in a black limousine, and I'm already on the radio. What's the traffic? We've got a vehicle out here. They're supposed to tell me in advance so I can have a gate open or something, have it protected, block a roadway, do all kinds of activity, and it didn't happen because there was no official radio or travel from any member of the White House. So what happened was the driver got out and just opened his door and said, yeah, I got Miss Walters. She's got an appointment with the First Lady. Okay, let's check it out. Radio traffic, telephone, radio at the same time, either way. And then I go to the door where she's supposedly there, and I open the door. There's Miss Walters. Now, my first impression was that was her. I asked her for some ID. She said she didn't have any. She looked like she was under some sort of duress. She was not a very nice looking person. She was not smiling. She wasn't personable. She didn't offer anything like, oh, I've got an appointment or blah, blah, blah. And she didn't have her ID with her. Now, how many people do you know, famous or not, is going to try to do that and not have their ID with them? I have checked in people like John Denver, Hugh O'Brien, you name a ton of movie stars, people I've protected at the Watergate Hotel, besides President Ford, Betty Ford, Steve, Jack, and Susan, personally. And then, of course, Jimmy Carter, Rosalind Carter, when they came in, and their family. So there's something wrong. And it very well could have fit a category like that, because why would she come up and attempt to get in? And she didn't exhibit under other signs, and she didn't look like she was trying to explain or say anything either. And I've had people do that at the border, because a woman was a passenger in a car, a female Hispanic driving the smuggler, and a baby in the back seat. And when I looked at the woman on the passenger side, she was so stressed. And when I got the documents and birth certificate for the woman claiming it was her baby, the woman yelled out, she's trying to kill my baby. That's my baby. No problem. I ripped the woman out of the driver's side, took the keys before that to make sure I turned the engine off and put her in cuffs immediately. And then we took the woman and her baby inside, just like that. That's an actual smuggling case. That's an actual person under extreme duress, that kind of thing. But for some reason, yeah, it's possible, but you don't know what was in the trunk of that vehicle or built into the car itself. It could have had a nuke, a suitcase nuke. And I actually protected a guy who was a former KGB colonel by the name of Stanislav Lunyev around 95 to 98. And he was testifying before the Senate House Committee hearing on foreign intelligence. He was the biggest defector during that time. So that would be right after Reagan time frame, you know, with Gorbachev and the wall and all these other things. So that's historical. And I believe, according to another source, Stanislav had died just the last couple of years ago. And I protected him up at Huntington Beach at a presentation. I got a copy of his book, which was Through the Eyes of the Enemy. And he was a real nice guy, you know, short, blonde, or white-haired, goatee. And he would always tease me or say, John, we have to go have a cigarette break. And I said, well, I don't smoke cigarettes. No, I have to have a cigarette. Oh, okay. So I'd been with him, you know, but I was teasing. And he gave me a book and I had him sign it, you know, to John, blah, 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 from Stanislav Lunyev. Then I had him do it in Russian, in English or whatever. But that was an interesting experience because I protected the Russians at the Russian embassies in D.C., not more than 2.5 blocks away from the White House. You know, you got the White House, you got Lafayette Park, you got the Hilton right off 16th, and then the next street up past L Street would be 1609. And they've since moved it up to the northern parts of D.C. at a much bigger complex. Yeah, dealing with bombs, they had bombs going off right next to the embassy at the Aeroflot. And I was 2 blocks away when it went off, and it was that big, it shook the windows. Some guys were at the post, and they were raised up off their feet. So that was either the JDL or the LDL or some other terrorist group, you know, going after the Russians.
Well, John, we'll be right back after this break with my fascinating guest, John Carman. You're not going to want to miss a word of this.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We're waiting on Jim. Come on down and join
us. I had it.
There he
I
is.
Had
he
it.
Made it.
You
Yay, he's fast today. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. I've seen my guest today has the most extraordinary background as U.S. Secret Service, San Diego Police Department, Customs Senior Inspector. He's a law enforcement consultant, and he's just telling us some fascinating stories. John, all yours.
Yes. I think I was talking about the bombs that had gone off, and we'd experienced that stuff because they were doing a lot of letter bombing as well. That's what terrorists do, you know, and yet we're put on the front line of these things. And I used to catch packages and find all kinds of things that were placed outside embassy buildings and so forth at like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And I'm the only one walking around at night, apparently. And I call it in, and they check it out. And then it turns out it was a suspicious briefcase. Whether it belonged to somebody or not, they still have to go through the procedures. But I eventually got some death threats and transferred to the White House because I was exposing and finding even problems in that agency. That's not my favorite agency to complain about. U.S. Customs is because they're literally letting tons and tons of narcotics in. And we're all being lied to. There was a famous quote by a guy at Area 51 who worked up there, may still be working there, I'm not sure. His quote was, he's sorry he knows about what he knows today because we've been lied to about everything. That applies right there. Everything that you think you see, like the voting, is a lie. All this stuff about what the Democrats do with the border and everything. They tear it down and then they'll come back later and claim that they fixed it. If it's not broken, they'll break it. That's exactly what they're doing. Look at the border. They had sea containers doubled up at the border, like near Texas or one of the other places, to keep vehicles from driving in with tons of cocaine. And then they got removed the day of or before he came down to McAllen, Texas yesterday. They don't know what the border looks like. I've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene come to San Diego, and I've reached out to these people, and none of them respond. If you don't live in their district, or if you give them a wrong zip code, they don't even want to talk to you. Even if you told them that you had national security issues and you had information about even suitcase nukes coming across the border. They're that ignorant and stupid. And if you talk to a person like I have out of Harris's office, these interns, they're kids, they don't have any real life experience, and maybe they're ordered not to talk about certain things. But when you hear a staff member who actually answers the phone from somebody like Senator Harris's office or former office say that they don't do investigations, that is an out and out bold-faced lie. Your Congress and your Senate represents the American people. They do investigations. And if they ask what time of day it is, that's an investigative question, period. What did you spend your money on with this federal agency? They can do that. That's what they do oversight for. They represent and oversight all these agencies. And if they're not doing it right, like U.S. Customs and DHS and Border Protection and all these other things, that's an investigative question. So I got lied to by even staff people from senators and congressmen's offices for years. And I know for a fact that we have illegal incursions, upwards of over 125 incursions every year. And that came from Duncan Hunter Sr. And then he left, and then Duncan Hunter Jr., also a U.S. Marine, by the way, real tall guy, shook his hand, met with him, talked to him. They went after him with a vengeance because he was going to expose the stuff that I knew as well. So it seems kind of strange. I should mention my website, which I can't really update too much, customscorruption.com. And if you go to page 2, that has a lot of cool pictures of me at the border, seizing narcotics and so forth. And believe me, I was prolific. Every day I went out there, I got some sort of enforcement activity. And I kept wondering, how come these other guys aren't getting what I get? So the percentages of guys out there and women, men and women, who are out there sucking up bad fumes and everything at the world's largest land border port at San Ysidro, some people would get narcotics and violators, some wouldn't. And then there's some people that would just go out there to wave traffic through and not even catch anything, which it was strange. But people used to ask me, how come you're getting all this stuff? Because I look. You know, you have to laugh at it because I'm really looking at the people and how they react. That's behavioral analysis techniques, which is I'm a human lie detector, basically. You know, I could ask you the basic questions. What's your citizenship? What did you do in Mexico? If it's at the border of Mexico and the United States, you know, and ask a stress question. Are you carrying any narcotics? Do you have any weapons? Do you have any money more than $10,000 or something? Those are standard questions. So if you ever got to go through me, you can bet that if I didn't choose to pull you inside or arrest you on the spot, that you probably were okay. And the odds are people want to say, well, what odds, what percentages do you think people are smuggling or lying? Well, most of the people have something to lie about at the southern border when they're coming through, but it depends on what kind of lie it is. And if they're not, that's a certain percentage too, but it's almost a 50-50. You want to believe 75 are good, 75%, and there's only 25%. But believe me, there's a lot of smuggling going on at the border. And the United States government is one of the suspects. How's that? You know, a lot of people don't get that.
I think more people, John, are aware that the CIA is perhaps the biggest drug dealing operation in the world today. So I don't think there'd be a lot of surprise about, you know, FBI or other agency involvement here in drug smuggling across the border. I think everyone would find that highly plausible.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We check people at the border driving, walking. We check their cars. We check commercial size vehicles, trucks, boats, planes, airports, seaport, military bases. I've lived on military bases most of my young life and off base as well. And I can put anybody in a stressful situation. And if they're already stressed, it's real easy. But when you got tanker trucks, I'll give this rail cars coming in. I even called a friend of mine at Calexico, said, hey, check the rail cars very next day around lunchtime, which is when they come in, just based on my information. And when he did, he found over 1,000 pounds of dope. just like that. But I didn't get credit for it, and I didn't get a phone call back or an attaboy or a, you know, a check in the mail thing. Okay, so that's how treacherous these people are at the agency. But we had a guy just call me like a couple of weeks ago, and he was involved in one of the biggest cocaine seizures as a canine officer, where they had the Hedro tanker trucks come in. And if do you remember that movie with Charles Bronson, where he played a Border Patrol agent in San Diego? I think it was called The Border.
Yeah.
They had pictures and film footage at the beginning of the movie where they showed San Ysidro, 24 lanes, the largest border port in the United States, or the world, rather. And the tanker trucks were lined up in line at the furthest lanes over towards the building, which would be lane number one. At that point, the district director at that time was Alan J. Rappaport. He's a suspect. And they would bring that stuff through the border porter entry there at that facility when they were supposed to be bringing it through the commercial gate 6 miles east of there at Otay Mesa. So what they did, they eventually switched it over because of the traffic issues. And one of the canine officers got a hit on this truck, which was 8,500 pounds over its weight on the scales. We had routinely 15 of those big tanker trucks come in, propane gas. That's what we're talking about. You mentioned the gas, the natural gas that they're going to try to attack, and it's always something. They're trying to divert everybody's attention about natural energy. You know, solar cells, gas, water, you know, food, everything's being contaminated. Everything's being tampered with. That's why I drink bottled water. I could do a commercial, right? But eventually what they did was they took the tanker truck, and I was right next door when this was going down at the commercial facility there. Canine officer got a hit really strong by his dog. The weight scale showed 8,500 pounds over. So somehow this supervisor named Art Gilbert, I won't mention Art Gilbert's name, but I'll mention it anyway. Art Gilbert, Hispanic supervisor, allowed the driver to walk to Mexico less than 50 to 100 yards away. Probably more like 75 yards. I'll give you 75 yards. You don't do that with suspects. You lock them up. You arrest them, especially when you confirm it. And what they found out later, there was 8,500 pounds of cocaine in that one truck alone. And if the cartel has anything to do with it, the Arellano Felix cartel, Arellano Felix organization, AFO, then you don't lose a load of cocaine. If you're not arrested or dead and you come back without the load or something, they'll kill you. You could probably watch that movie Blow with Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz, and I forget the other actors, during the time of Pablo Escobar. And they did that with their pilots. If you were a pilot and you wanted to work for them, you had to show them your ID, show them pictures of your family and where you lived and all that stuff. Because if you betrayed them, guess what happens to you and your family?
Yes, it's a little too obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they do. That's just a good reference movie. And some people used to say, well, John, how come you're referring this to a movie? Because it's educational. And the CIA controls CIA Hollywood anyway. Half of the information you're watching on the news is false, and yet they're still putting out code no different than if it was Radio Free Europe during the communist wars and stuff like that. They're putting out information. If you're tuned in, they'll pick up on it. But, all that stuff was all turned into a real big story. And yet a lot of people get death threats. I used to get death threats when I seized a bunch of heroin when I was at Calexico, and then I had to transfer back to San Diego. I literally had death threats recorded on my phone, which is unlisted, on a landline in 1985. And I had to protect my family at the time. So internal affairs didn't totally protect me. Normally they would promote me, transfer me to Hawaii or a military location, or maybe an embassy in Japan or some other country or someplace like that where I could still do work. But part of the problem, Jim, is that I know too much information. I'm very educated, highly trained. And if you put me in a place, no matter what it is, I'm going to learn no matter what. They don't want me to be that person because I learn too much. That means that when you've got electronic importations on a computer, of sea containers coming from Europe. We have 72 hours to clear it online, which is weird. I go online on a computer on the database, like the commercial system that they have with the U.S. Treasury through customs, or pull it aside for an inspection. And it looks like it's got a million widgets on it. I said, well, that looks suspicious. Let's check it out. Let's get a sample. Let's look at it. In bond movements, specially locked up, specially sealed, lots of paperwork, special bonds by the import specialists or the import the companies that import and do paperwork for these people. They would be inspected and they would verify it, but we'd only have enough people in a day or an 8-hour day to check less than 1% or 2% of the national importations in the United States commercially. So if you imagine all these sea containers around the United States trying to get in, and they get through a port of entry from the East Coast down to Florida, Miami, to Houston, Texas, all along the southern border, all the way back up the West Coast, up to Seattle, and maybe along the Canadian border, they only have enough people to do less than 2%. That's like 1,500 to 2,000 containers in an 8-hour shift, maybe, depending where you're at. They could be loaded. And what they do is the shotgun approach. Well, they'll put a load of narcotics in one truck out of 15. Or they might do it the other way. They may put 15 trucks loaded and only one with a regular load of regular merchandise, you know, equipment, car parts. It could be anything. Assembled American products in Mexico, assembled and returned. APR, American products returned. You know, like Levi's. I couldn't believe it. I saw Levi's coming in. American products sent to Mexico for their slave labor, no different than China, to sew up something and then bring it back in tax-free. So that was part of NAFTA. Everything is built on the smuggling. In fact, while I mentioned it, I just recalled diplomatic immunity. I'm trained in that from Secret Service. This is what scared the customs officials about my background, because I knew about diplomatic stuff. I knew about the restrictions. I could inspect diplomatic people and their vehicles all day long. And if they don't want to be inspected, I'll say, go right ahead, but I'm going to take your car. I'm going to inspect it for narcotics. And I would find stuff. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the thing with the Clintons and their satanic connections and the fact that they have something with diplomatic art, which is shipped from all over the world? They call it diplomatic art under a diplomatic flag of some sort or a diplomatic status, which means they can ship anything they want on a diplomatic immune container, which could have everything from personal property to children, pedophile stuff, pornography, narcotics, fentanyl, guns, anything. Literally, under immunity, we're not supposed to open it up. But I'll be darned if I'm going to let something like that through without at least an X-ray. And I'm the one that got the first X-ray tested commercial facility in Otay Mesa in 94, 95, because some other inspector decided to walk away from a pickup truck, and a National Guard was there trying to do an inspection by himself. He's not allowed to. So I go up and said, no, you're not supposed to be doing this. Let me do it. And then I looked at the side panels of this pickup truck. I looked at the driver and said, no, something's wrong. So I had him open up the panel there, which I could have done with a screwdriver that just happened to be laying there. Why would a screwdriver be laying up in the front seat, passenger side, Phillips head?
Yeah.
So I had him open up the panel, and you could clearly see packages, and he keeps looking back at me like, now what? Open it up. Come on. And I had him open up more. I said, yeah, there's a thing there. And I took the Phillips head away from him for safety reasons, of course, but I was okay. And took him inside, arrested him and all that, and it worked out that we took it next door, because that was the day that they opened up the gigantic commercial facility X-ray machine so you could drive a truck on it, and it would X-ray the whole vehicle to see if it had anything in the tires, the panels, the floor, the floorboards, the roof, any of it. See? That's pretty
effing good, John. I like that.
Yeah, and that's me. That's me. I pissed off so many people because what they were doing, they had the Commissioner of Customs, George J. Weiss, coming in. I've got pictures of it where he had all these officials. They were trying to guide me and put me at an airport about a couple of miles away at Brown Field where we would check a private aircraft or whatever coming in to keep me away from the commissioner because they knew I was a whistleblower. I was doing my job. A lot of people don't get it. They're that basically stupid. They think I was doing something wrong. I said, no, I'm supposed to report illegal activity and corruption. That is my badge and my oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend. PPD sounds like Presidential Protective Detail, but it's the same thing. You took an oath as well. You went in the military, preserve, protect, defend the Constitution of the United States. That's what I'm doing against all enemies, foreign and especially domestic right now. Right now, that's what we're facing. And when I got that seizure, did the reports and everything, and I got all the publicity, and I got photographs with the commissioner and attaboys and slaps on the back, and I got an award or something, you know, maybe an extra cash award or something, but no promotion, still no promotion. And I'm not that type of person. I get what I deserve, but other people get promoted because they were either black or Hispanic. You see what I mean? Even a guy named Miguel Contreras, who's a former SAC agent of Internal Affairs, supports me, and he's actually said this, and I've got it on record. All of Mr. Carman's allegations were 100% correct. That's 15 years, all the time, 100%. You can't be born that good or not, or like batting averages. You know, you bat 1,000, you know, from the beginning to the end. So that's what I was up against. A lot of the internal corruption, and these people were all in bed with each other, literally, and they were doing all kinds of weird stuff that even I had sources, and I had informants in the Customs Service telling me about what they did behind the scenes. In fact, did I mention that Alan J. Rappaport also was an ex-Marine? We had guys who were ex-military. Yeah. Some good, some bad, and I would rather trust military people because I grew up with that lifestyle. Most of them are pretty good people. One or two will go bad just because. So everybody's different. You know that. I mean, you know, you could probably find a few bad ones here and there. Bad apple every now and then.
They're having to drop the standards now to keep people in the military because no one wants to join. They're dropping the standards, John. It's not going to be the case in the future that you can count on the character of anyone who's even served in, even those who have served in our military.
Exactly. I had a chance and I turned it down. Of course, my dad, who was a retired Navy commander of 30 years, he was a ground pounder and a Mustang, if you know those terms. But a lot of people don't get it. We transferred around every 3 years. I thought I was in the CIA after a while. Right? So it's like, well, yeah, you couldn't even get settled. You couldn't really have a real relationship or have a girlfriend thing. And I'm in sports all the time. So I mean, all the American sports, baseball, basketball, football, track and field. I was first place shot put in Japan, all the American bases that we played. And then I got injured in wrestling because I was the heavyweight champion there, but had an injury from a Army lieutenant who was one of the subbing coaches, Roman Greco style stuff. But I used judo. So I just decided to go full blown martial arts and just stayed in martial arts in Japan, 67 to 70. Been to Osaka to the World's Fair, where my buddy Seagal has his dojo up in Osaka. Been to Mount Fuji, been to foreign embassies in Japan and Tokyo and all these other things. And I can speak Japanese and eat sushi with the best of them, you know. And I learned Spanish since I was a kid in San Diego from a teacher from Santiago, Chile. But it's pronounced Chile with a SH or a CH soft sound. English, Irish, Dutch, German, Viking background, speaking foreign languages, excellent shooting skills, distinguished expert. In fact, my first handgun was a 45 that I was taught to shoot at a place called Camp Pendleton And that was kind of fun when I was a Cub Scout or Boy Scout, you know. So I can brag about it. Well, who taught you to shoot first? Well, I did a little bit first, but the Marines, you know the joke about Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, where they try to blame it on the Marines. Well, he was taught by the Marines. He's a natural born, highly trained killer thing, which is interesting because I actually lived at Naval Air Station at Sugi where he was stationed. Of course, years later in 1967, he was there in, I believe, 59.
Yeah.
Or earlier. So, and he was in an interesting position. And even that base had a top secret status as well, which is even more interesting. Of course, I know about all this other stuff with JFK, and I've got my own sources, and I've talked to people like Jim Mars. I know a guy named Robert Tosh Plumlee, who is a CIA pilot. We talked originally about the smuggling aspect until he told me he was in Dallas that day. And I said, oh, my God, that changes everything. We'll have to talk about it. You know, and he'll take a phone call from me. He won't receive calls from other people. But I learn all kinds of stuff. I mean, I have so many subjects I could talk about. It would last years, literally. If I had a job, I could take it. But I don't get retirement and I don't get Social Security, just to bring that up real quick. And I'm 69 and I'm still fighting the government. Our government is stealing Social Security money from our own people, stalling them off up to 5 to 6 or 7 years. They're thieves, and they're doing it on purpose. They're not allowed to. Even Reagan said that is our money. They make contributions. So can you imagine they go into a computer and erase my deductions, or they erase my contributions? And I was working in Japan as a postal employee even during the summer when I was like 13, 14, 15 years of age. Because I had a Social Security number. So they go into it and they're removing the information like, oh, I didn't earn anything in 15 years at Customs. Really?
John, take a deep breath. We got another break and we'll be right back with my special guest, John Carman.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, John, I'm so delighted to have you here, and you have so much to say, and there's so much I'd like to discuss. I'm hesitating opening the lines for callers, so I'm sure there are many who'd like to speak with you, to ask first, would it be possible for you to do an extension of our conversation either this Friday or next Wednesday?
Sure. Yeah, because there's so much information. In fact, I heard the commercial before this about what happened at 9/11, and they were Mossad agents that placed thermite charges throughout the whole building. And I'm EOD trained, okay? I went to Quantico. I was EOD trained through Secret Service at Quantico. Hey, isn't that a military base? Marines and FBI, right? I was also trained by EOD people from the Marines, so... It's like, it's sort of a profile hint there, you know, but I was cross-designated over 40 different agencies when I was at U.S. Customs. That is something people don't get either. I keep wanting, God wants me to say this, and I do have messages all the time. I get urged. Billy Gates bought a closed out base in northeast northern Dakota because he's using that as an underground base so he can allegedly have food and storage and all kinds of stuff for his personal use. The United States government already has underground bases. They have underground tunnels. They've got tons of food supplies that are pure food, pure water, not GMO, no genetically modified anything that would last them. I think the quote was like 150 years or something. So if that's just one location, you can bet that they have a place that they can go. If you're the rich elite, if you are a president of the United States or vice president, or if you're part of the COG continuity of government teams that they would have. In fact, I'm probably on a list too. I don't know. I'm probably on several other lists as well, but they have all this stuff planned out. So in case something happens, and I'm fully aware of what's going on in Russia. I have Russian contacts over there. And Putin's doing the right thing. You know, I have to spell that out real quick because people don't get it. Ukraine is just one big money laundering ATM. That's all it is. If you look in the wall or imagine a map, you know, there's the Ukraine. Off to the right is the Russian Federation. Off to the left is Europe and all this other stuff. It's always Russia, Russia, Russia. The Clintons will always keep you believing. That's what the left wing wants you to believe. They don't want you to look at that because it's like saying, oh, look over there, the smoke from the grassy knoll. The shots came out of the storm drain cover. They don't want you to know about the shooter with the 223 bolt action. It was a special, some sort of a special bolt action gun. And I get these things all the time. You know, oh, that was the driver that reached all around 300, almost 180 degrees which your shoulder wouldn't be able to do while you're driving a car and shoot Kennedy from the front. Nope. Don't play that with me. So, and I know people like Cyril Wecht, who's a forensic pathologist. I know all kinds of people. You know, I've done these things for years. So people don't get it. And then that's what the whole idea is. You got people who, anybody can get a blog, anybody can get a microphone and put a show out there and put out their propaganda. It's all a distraction. You know, they don't want us to know the truth. So if you had some questions, I'll entertain questions. If you think you got a couple of good
callers. Sure, I'll open the lines. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, John Carman. Mitchell, let me invite you. You are a fan of John. I know it's an opportunity for you to have an exchange with him. Please be my guest.
Hey, hi, John. How you doing?
Pretty good.
You know, I think the
news of other stations while we talk, too. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the question. Can we get through the psyops that have been perpetrated on the American people? You know, they have essentially been brainwashed into a cult mindset by the mainstream media. And then cooperation, of course, with corrupt government.
Yes.
Is that the number one thing?
Well, they control the media. Right now, I'll give you an example. I'm looking at a video live shot of the White House, Lafayette Park, the EOB, where I used to work, and all these areas. They control everything. So that means if they want to, they can black out the screen, and you won't be able to see the helicopters coming in. And all this stuff about the news media, I screen it all the time. So they're purposely putting out misinformation and trying to divert your attention, no different than the COVID shots. I did not take a COVID shot, never will. I probably won't take any vaccines or shots for the rest of my life, no matter what, because they lied to us. And people have died from it. I tell people how to get ivermectin from India. You can order it. I actually had a prescription so I can have it legally any way I can. So, I mean, if you had specifics, even the way they do these cases, you know, the recent case where they, the guy that killed the people in Moscow, Utah or Idaho. Yes. And I kept thinking that's a psyop because it's Moscow. It's a murder case, Moscow. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Nancy Grace is out there all over the news revealing actual details and information regarding the case. They're not trying the case in the media, are they? Sarcasm.
You're talking about the Idaho case again, the knife thing where the guy's supposed to be a student of criminology.
Yes. They're trying the case publicly.
It was strange from the beginning. You know, I hadn't thought about something as being so obvious as that it's in Moscow, Idaho. So you're associating Moscow, as in Russia, with death. I mean,
exactly. That's how they do it. That's a psyop right there. I just exposed a psyop so that you understand. They've got other cases. Let's say a black cop shoots a white suspect. Well, they might or might not put it up there, but if they have a black cop shoots a black suspect, they won't put it up there.
Oh, yeah. The overwhelming majority of deaths by gun are blacks on blacks. I mean, that's like 90%, and 10% is blacks killing whites, and then whites killing whites. But whites killing blacks is the least, like 1%, John. I mean, you're right. These others are in the order of, I mean, it's outrageous. The overwhelming majority, without any doubt.
Yeah, you could buy those books I used to read when I was training and going to high school and college. J. Edgar Hoover died in 72, but they had a stat book by the FBI. You could look up all the stats. You could buy books on it. You could buy it online or do whatever. But it's all part of the psyops that they're covering up the actual information. So even when you think about the Sandy Hook thing, they're bringing up school shootings. The Border Patrol guys that happened to be in the area of the last one, I think it was Uvalde, Texas, right? All the cops were hiding in the bushes and hiding back and holding back. when you got an active shooter. I'm sorry, I went through training. You got a badge and a gun, you got a bulletproof vest, you go into harm's way and you go after the shooter and you stop the shooter. You know, in Secret Service, we're trained to stop to shoot the threat until it's dead or stops or whatever. Two to the chest, one to the head. The Border Patrol guys did exactly what they were supposed to do, and they got the shooter. And yet all these other idiots wearing badges, they should turn the badges in and be charged with all kinds of crimes because they failed to do their job and carry it out.
John, I think that was one of, you know, virtually all of these school shootings are staged. I mean, they're not bona fide. People aren't really being killed. They're even recycling crisis actors in Uvalde.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just stunning when you get into it. So
you see the same people show up all the time. Same thing.
Yeah. I'm getting the impression that that case about the police being so inept was supposed to be laying a foundation for arguing for a federal police force, that you can't count on the locals. But God, how awful would that be, John? How awful would that be?
Well, exactly. Posse comitatus and all these other things. And I was cross-designated as U.S. Marshal even when I was in San Diego PD because I had to respond to crime calls on military property or housing units in the area. But if you look at Texas as an example, and I've reached out to all these congressmen and senators from San Diego to Brownsville, Texas, all along the southern border. I've reached out to other people who might be a Republican or be a conservative or try to protect me and pull me in as a witness. If I had to, I'd live the rest of my life as a witness, secured witness, or in another country on a military base or some other status. I could do something else. They are purposely blocking me. Marjorie Taylor Greene reached out to her. She came to my area near the border, and they refused to respond. You see what I'm getting at?
I'm puzzled by that. I thought she was pretty good. I mean, she ought to be responsive. I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed to hear that, John.
Yeah, it's all a dog and pony show. Chip Roy, Ted Cruz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, I've talked to many, many people over the years. Robert David Steele, I knew him, and I contacted Cynthia McKinney and stuff like that. I've known her for years. But the problem is I'm still not getting protected. I am the biggest secret out there. I'm lucky I'm still alive. But the fact that I'm doing a news media newscast or been on some sort of a publicated type of a news a broadcast of some sort kind of guarantees me some safety because I'm still out in the news. But eventually they may try to come after me because I'm exposing their internal corruption. They don't want the people to know it. Those people in Congress are committing high treason every day that it goes by. All those people are going down to the border right now that are congressmen or senators don't know anything about the smuggling techniques, what's involved, who the corrupt people are. They're just going down there superficially seeing the border, you know, like Donald Jr. went down there. Hey, we're at the border. We're at the border. And then he gets back on his plane and flies back to wherever he's at. They don't know a damn thing about the actual stuff that happens on the smuggling, the death threats, the stuff that were involved in making arrests, the cartels. We had threats, and I knew Kiki Camarena from DEA since 83, and he got kidnapped and tortured and killed out of the American embassy in Guadalajara. And Oliver North got the information, and they released the information through Reagan on some deal where they were releasing some stuff there that somebody sent them, like an interrogation tape or audio or video. We slowed down the border searches to everybody. We had to search the hood, the trunk, the car, everything, 5 points inspection systems before they would finally release the bodies of the pilot and Kiki Camarena. They still covered it up. They didn't want people to know what they did. Kiki Camarena with his pilot was flying around Guadalajara. They found a ranch out there that was being run by the CIA. Possibly Felix Rodriguez, who was CIA that goes way back to Bay of Pigs, 61, back through George Herbert Walker Bush, Poppy Bush, and all the operations, because the United States government is training these people and working with them to smuggle tons of cocaine and narcotics and now fentanyl from China. Fentanyl, if they put it in the water system, they could kill millions and millions of people in the United States. There's no end to it.
That really hadn't crossed my mind, but of course you were 100% correct, John. I mean, that's a frightening thought. Of course, Gates wants to put, you know, as you heard me say during the opening, Gates wants to put the mRNA stuff into meat. He wants to put it into our food. He wants to make it impossible to avoid. I mean, this man is so sadistic and cruel and dedicated to genocide. He's proposing poisoning our food supply, so we're going to die either way, because if you don't eat it, you'll die, and if you do eat it, you'll die.
Well, it's satanic. It's a time limit that's ticking right now. And I know Deborah Tavares. She's talked about the water supply for years. I get my bottled water from Arrowhead. I don't drink the city water. I did have Nestle's for a while until they proved some tests on the Nestle's may have been contaminated. And if they put fluoride in it, that's not good. So if they have filtered spring water, you're safe if you got a good filter and all that. But here's the problem. You could go buy a Snickers or a Milky Way, if I remember correctly. And if you look at the label carefully, it has genetically modified material in it. If you as a human being, if you're human, I don't identify with humans this week, but if you eat modified food, it changes the cells in your body. So what are they doing that for? Because then they can inject you with something that will easily attack your body and your immune system won't fight it off. That means they're lowering your immune system. Why do you think everybody was forced to wear masks with the mandates? By the way, mandates are not laws. It's not passed by Congress, and you don't have to wear a mask. If there's anybody who's ignorant and stupid out there that hears this message, please get in touch with me, and I'll explain it in more detail. Because if you put yourself outside of the sunlight, which is D3, and I take D3 supplements every day, and I've even got a supply of ivermectin just in case. I've been testing it for a couple of years now, and I'm fine. Your immune system is more powerful than the genetic material with graphene oxide, mercury, aborted fetal tissue, and a bunch of other junk science that they're putting in these stupid shots.
Yeah.
They're killing people all over the world. And Gates is part of it.
Yeah. I'm with you over ivermectin and HCQ. I've taken them both. And, you know, I mean, the genetically modified everything is monstrous.
Exactly. And you could take quercetin if you can't take the hydroxychloroquine. You could take quercetin. It's a delivery system. I studied Kerry Medege, Rashid Batard, Rachel Sellers. What's her name? Emmanuel.
These are good people.
And I studied these people. I've got contacts. I evaluate and research it as an investigator. So I evaluate the information and research it more than anybody else. And I have a mind for it. So my mindset is into that category. Then that way I could tell people honestly and safely, this is what I found out. I've done the horse paste just to do it. Yeah, big deal.
Yeah, I took it too. I've got a tube of it right here at hand.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous how they were trying to mislead people about, you know, by finding all kinds of ways to portray a life-saving medication that's been around forever that does no harm and does a hell of a lot of good as though it were going to do you damage. I mean, it's just been disgusting, John.
Well, besides that, you got fenbendazole, which is another cancer drug. And a recent one that I came up recently, it comes out of Australia, is the ABC46 or whatever it is. You could Google it. Cancer medication, Australia. Put ABC46 and you'll still pull it up, but the 46 for sure. And it'll prove that they've taken it and it works. Cancers are parasites. Things like trichinosis, raw pork, raw food, meat, whatever, that you might get something or get a parasite, ivermectin will get rid of it. And yet they don't want us to know it. Biden blocked it through the DEA. That's illegal. The man should be impeached, and I just saw where they're trying to do impeachment proceedings on Mayorkas. Don't stop there, Congress. Get on with it. Biden, Harris, all of them.
Johnny, I agree with all that. But, of course, you know, the way they stole the election, I mean, even James Carville implicitly admitted they'd stole 57 seats in the House from the Republicans. The way they were stealing this election was massive and overwhelming. The problem being, you know, while the Republicans should have picked up four seats, say, in the Senate, that since the Democrats still control the Senate, it's going to be very difficult to get anything done. What's your take on this?
Yeah, and yet they were doing deals behind the doors with the new speaker.
McCarthy.
McCarthy. And the problem with that is people are afraid to exercise their Second Amendment rights. They're ignorant. They're not trained. And it's almost like you want to have everybody donate 2 years of their time, military service like some other countries, to realize what they need to do. And yet, I emailed Trump, and I'm doing this for a reason. I'm exposing the fact that Trump did not respond. He did not protect me. In fact, before, during, and after he left office, and yet I heard all these lies, even from the Trump administration, that they wanted to go after Julian Assange. They even were discussing doing assassination hits on Assange or Ed Snowden. And that's just totally wrong. Those guys should have been protected.
Assange is a good guy, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. So what did Ed Snowden do? He couldn't do what I did because I went through the whole system of being a protected whistleblower, and I'm not protected. That's the whole point. They're not protecting me as a whistleblower under the laws. Whistleblower Protection Act is useless. The other laws like 18 U.S.C. 111, 18 U.S.C. 115, subparent A, subparent 2. I'm not protected under federal law because they choose not to exercise the laws. Democrats will go in and change the laws or claim that there aren't any laws and do the violations when there are laws on the books. Thomas Homan, former DHS representative, Border Patrol, Customs, CBP, or whatever, after DHS came in, after Tom Ridge changed everything, he's very animate. He's angry. I'm more angry than he is because I worked the border and I got death threats and it altered my life and they're not supporting me. I don't get retirement after 20 plus years of service to this country. And yet everybody assumes, oh, you must be on Social Security or retirement. No, I need somebody to help me out with $3,000 or more per month to pay my bills. You know, if I had retirement, like some military guys, they would be double dippers. They got $6,000 to $10,000 a month. $6,000 to $8,000 tax free would be plenty to survive. They don't want John Carmer to survive. I've had death threats. They want me dead. People don't get that. They really are ignorant. And while I'm watching Fox News or some other news channel, all these guys with their suits and ties or whatever, they're getting paychecks. They're paid to lie. So when I will listen to this stuff, I'm watching them. How do you know they're lying, John? Well, you know the old adage, their lips are moving.
So it's constant.
And I know we're coming down to less, like, what, 7 minutes here. So
actually less. We got more like four. And, John, okay. I'm hoping to induce you to come back as early as Friday, if you could, or next week. Would any of that work for you?
Yeah, if this is the time frame, it's pretty much unless I have a scheduled appointment or a medical or something. So,
good. Well, I'm very, very interested in what you have to say about what the hell's going on in Washington with this Biden thing. It's such a fraud. Is it clearly not the Joe guy who came from Delaware who was a bit of a nitwit, of whom Barack Obama said, never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. But
you have this to look
guy's
at
a complete fraud. I mean,
that's why you put him in. They put the worst guy possible as the president, and they put the worst person as vice president because that means that nobody would want to take him out. That means that she would be the next person to step into his place. That's what she is. She's a backup. And Gerald Ford himself said this years ago, and I'll quote him. He says it will go like this. The Democrats will get a male president into the president's office. They'll have a female And if something happens to him, that's how they'll get a vice president female to step in as president for the first female president. That's
Hillary's,
exactly
of
what
course,
they're doing.
Hillary's still been out of shape because it was all rigged for her in 2016 and Trump beat her out. Right. I mean,
and Trump didn't keep his promise to have her arrested either.
Well, I have the impression you would know that Hillary has a get out of jail free card. That's easier said than done.
Well,
tell me.
She said she was going to take half of Washington down with her, and they didn't arrest her. William Barr didn't make any sealed indictment arrests at all. Neither did Sessions. And I'm going to disappoint people if they think MAGA is the deal. I'm sorry, but Trump's part of the problem. He's just one of them.
I'm going to want you to expand on that when I get you back, John. Friday? Does Friday, 2 days hence, work for you?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, I'm ecstatic to have you here. You've been wonderful, and you have so much to say. So we're about to hit the break here. John, do tell people where they can learn more about you and your work.
Well, you can get in touch with me on Facebook. I've got an email, john.a.carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, @gmail.com. I've got a Venmo account for donations, @john-carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, the numbers 1 and 7. I have the customscorruption.com website. That's purely informational. Go to page 2, which is a lot of cool pictures and stuff. It would take you a few years to brief yourself on all the information. I can't even get a book published in this country because it's too dangerous. That's how bad, you know. But, of course, you know I'm on Dark Outpost, you know, at least once a week, and I try to get information out. But you've been very good, and I consider us good friends, and you ask the right questions because you're involved. You know what's going on, so you're the perfect person. Another whistleblower to another whistleblower, so to speak, is the best way to do it.
John, I'm looking forward to your return on Friday. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Spend all the time you can with your friends and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. John Carman, back on Friday. See you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take.
But as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their